ancient language is English. I've been curious because it's going to be speedy presentation to you so that you can get an update on what we are looking for in the energy sector, especially relating to the human capital side and looking forward to the future. We are coming together now in our Southeast Asian economic cooperation. So when we talk about energy, this is some people say Thailand is such a small country, we cannot play energy game. Energy game is only for big ones. So now you know it's only the biggest country with the biggest resources, with the biggest budget, the biggest car, the best missiles, and they don't even have a human or a person on it. They are using drones. So is it true that energy is only for people? We have to get it out. But human conflict, when you look at driven by scarcity, but I'm sitting next to an economist here. Economy is also driven by scarcity. You even do it, you get it good. But when you look at it from an engineer or the name itself, you are looking at human conflict as driven by scarcity. If you go back a long way, we used to fight over so many things, starting from salt. The salt was scarce 2,000 years ago. But now salt has many times become commodity. So this is true, that human conflict is driven by scarcity. The big question is, why can we not live together in harmony? But scarcity itself is always the movement of people. So a conference or a workshop like it is important to look at, perhaps take a step back and look at what is worth fighting for, what is worth competing for, or put the equation around itself. Why can't we just stop fighting and work together to get the energy that we need? Hopefully by the end of 35 minutes I can provide some answers to that, so that you can go back to your family and have a look at it in another way. So in the past you were fighting for manpower, otherwise you don't have war for the past 5,000 years. The way it's about manpower. But when man becomes greatly a person, you want to get rid of man, you know? Then we also fight over that resources. Land, water, and now scarce minerals. If you follow up the news, you will know that certain minerals, like lithium. Lithium is only available in certain parts of the world. Especially in China, they have a lot of lithium. And we use those lithium for the new battery for automotive. And those become scarce. And scarcity means competition. And competition could lead to conflict. So if there is a big conflict, we have another problem altogether. So strategy, mineral has become a big issue, including petroleum, which is fossils. And they are, of course, of limited amounts. So we have a lack of fighting over it. Now, look forward. In the future, we will fight over digitized content. I'm sure that will happen. Digitized content is the name of intellectual property rights. There's a big war between Apple and Google at the moment. So this is the country that we are living under. So conflict and human is will always be together. Wherever we still live, somewhere in the corner of the universe, we will always have something with us. So we have to learn to live in it. Or learn to live together with minimum conflict. So every time we learn to live, Actually, about the sound, we can actually, because the difference between the four levels, we all look at them, we all walk at them, we all eat rice. The,
okay.
Or in the other words, we are under the influence of the bamboo network. All of us eat bamboo, all of us use bamboo for our construction, use bamboo for our living world. It can't be any bamboo we use to, but it's similar to bamboo, but it's not. But in this area, we are under this bamboo network. We have a bamboo on the way here, and we have a lot of bamboo trees covering the mountains. So we have been together for perhaps 4,000 years since humans migrated out of Africa and settled in Asia. But we have drifted apart for 500 years. Now we are coming back together. And if the event can bring us closer together, why not? Returning to the question of energy again, so many people are saying that it is the end of oil. Maybe not yet, but the energy part, definitely. Oil will never be cheaper ever again. And I have an answer to that in the next few slides. And when oil is running out, we need to look for alternatives. We are looking towards gas. And gas, we have a big move at the moment. Because there's a change of technology, there's a change of the way how we work, and the way how we use petroleum or fossil resources. So the next step is gas. But again, gas will not be so cheap. And perhaps gas will be even more dominated by the big boys. China is now counted as one of the big boys in terms of energy gain. But from China, we can never grow marginal, never. But if Thailand and the KMS country came together, or Thailand and ASEAN came together in Vietnam, what other will be not so big? Medium class one. And then the world will notice. But well, if you are from the energy side, you don't need to talk about this story. Because we are moving from one country to the other, starting from food, charcoal, and oil for the past 150 years. The next stage will be gas, and after that, hopefully it will be renewable energy, or who knows. And progress of, we mentioned progress, as we have next to me is what we do on the current term. We mentioned progress in the GDP on a country basis. Thailand is now right. After retail income countries, and not a big deal, because I don't think after retail, if you work, I see that you see so many of my fellow countrymen living in those, well, filthy houses, riding in a very old buses or old trains. I don't feel after retail income has been to you, poor country. That is not perspective. But if you look at the way Thailand is using energy, yeah, I feel pretty rich. But this is the perspective. But looking into the future, by the year 2050, we will use triple the amount of energy. Only on Thailand, we will triple the fuel of energy compared to today. And whether we have enough money to buy it is another question. And if you want to ask, where will all those energy come from? With OPEC, you will be able to pump oil at $5, $7, $120, or will there be new resources? We, on an international program published by me just a few months ago, we look forward to the year 2030. The biggest gain of oil comes from resources. One is already Iraq. So Iraq is oil. Second is the oil that we can grow. This is energy. Renewable energy. Oil that can grow in the past biodiesel. And which abundant it is carrying. Sometimes it's abundant, not really being, but just get enough, as you have a whole being, then we can still make it. But imagine, by 2030, OPEC will still dominate the opening oil market. And this will still go to a high extent because OPEC countries are still sitting on a huge reserve. And they are the lowest cost. And if you ask me, if OPEC will sell oil to the world market, $30, no way. $50, no way. $100, perhaps not. $200, maybe. Just 2 days ago, there was a publication coming out that by 2050, 8 years from now, we will be buying oil at $200 per barrel. So we have to wake up. Thailand has to wake up.
When could that happen?
2020.
And by the way, when the peak of oil 5 years ago, 147. So that time for the for country like Thailand low, affecting even the airline business, so the price of tickets for airline business, and so 105 at the moment looks okay, but if you predict 200, it will make the economy very to use them less. Okay? Because economics has one particular law, it's called law of demand. See? The higher the price, the lower the consumption. Okay? So with 200, then they have to look for alternative energy quickly. But at 100, then the demand for alternative energy is not as intensive. Yes, so I think alternative energy will depend on the price of oil also. But anything above 150, definitely there's so many kinds of technologies that come in. For example, when I visit China, the Chinese government now invest in solar. Not solar cell, they invest in solar thermal. You know, and once you raise the price of solar thermal as equivalent to price of oil, then the world will be changing. But at the moment, I think the cost of solar thermal still declines. So it's a matter of prices. So maybe you're right. So let them go up to 200. Eventually, maybe solar thermal will be. You know, solar thermal is not solar cell. They use technology transform solar into energy, which China and another country, Spain, and some European investment. But I think the future of solar thermal probably will be quite interesting. And if EMS country, we are small, but we should work together with
Iraq war ended a few years ago. And under Iraq land, a lot of oil. Thanks to the good news, the road oil has now been pumped up. The bad news is, not only the big oil company, but they seem to be no small companies. And only the seven big sisters of the Western or national oil companies, or not national oil companies, that will become multinational oil companies. And the big boys from Russia, and also the big boys from China, if that's what you look at, and you look at. And good news for Malaysia. Malaysia also has two wells. many drops of oil to get from Iraq. They said zero. And when I refer to them, look at the news and say, look, Malaysia, you were smaller. Never. And actually, getting through wells. They said, oh, it's small. There's no small well in Iraq. It's a huge well for Malaysia and even for Thailand. So, but if you ask me, when those oil are now coming up, will oil be below $50? No way. Because the Western power in the Western has a lot of money into this context already. So there is no way that it will come down. Whenever there is a signal of oil coming down, there will be a way of going down. There will be a bomb somewhere, there will be a piracy somewhere. This is what some people say, this is conspiracy theory. It's not. If you look at it carefully, there's a good reason why oil will never be cheap again. And oil, wherever it is, even pipeline, wherever that is, always bring it to something. Sometimes those something become between countries, big issues. Even in developed countries, like if you look at the conflict now happening between Norway and Russia in the Arctic Circle. Used to be very cold, used to be uncomfortable for warships or for ships. Nowadays we can navigate that. And when we navigate that, we see a lot of potential for oil and gas. Big gas is a big oil field. So there's some simulated conflict wherever there is oil. And luckily we don't have much in this region. So there's no reason to fight over it. If you look for gas, we have a new equation now, because gas is natural gas is created in two different ways. One is by pipeline, the other is by what you call liquefied natural gas to transport it by ships, by big ships. And Thailand is now becoming one of the largest natural gas, liquefied natural gas. Thailand started to import natural gas from Myanmar 11 years ago, starting from very small volume. Now the import bill of Myanmar gas is about 10% of the total petroleum import of Thailand, becoming number one Myanmar export and becoming the number one import from Myanmar to Thailand. So you have to have Myanmar for that, otherwise Thailand has to go very far to try to secure our natural gas. And I heard the news that there is a lot more in the Myanmar continental shelf. So future cooperation, future exploration is something very important impact. Over that, you have to be sure that carefully. But then again, these resources are the things that help drive the country forward. Look at Thailand 30 years ago, we have zero petrochemical industry. Today we are the world's top 12 largest petrochemical producer. Even though we are not clever enough to make it to finish product, at least we are having up to that. And in as a result, we have been able to develop a lot of other industries outside of petrochemical industry. So that's a good side and bad side. This is one of the new issues. Gas. The reason why gas will become dominant for the next 100 years is that we have found a way of producing more gas from the old gas fields by using what we call fracturing technology. Yes. Normally we do vertical wells, they pump and then move. Okay. Nowadays we do a vertical well and make a 90-degree curve. So one well produced more than 50 times. Normally, and with that type of fracturing technology, there's a huge resource all over the world. Asia, especially in China, they have a lot of shale gas. And in Australia, in India, what is half Europe, and also the hugest one, the biggest one in the United States. So, when we shift from oil to gas, still, came for people like Billy. The other thing is, if you talk, listen to another Kamu Nagam, you will get wrong. But for Thailand, I think it is a long, long way before we can start restart our nuclear program. Perhaps never. But we have a solution. Because transformation will be always stay. And if you can feel, I think we can have a role to play. Thailand is not doing that. We are now the world's third producer and user of biofuels. The fuel we can grow by our own farmers. And I'm sure CFS country can do the same. So perhaps even better than Thailand, because Vietnam has a lot more land, arable land than Thailand. Cambodia, we have a huge arable land, also lands. Vietnam, we don't have a lot of land, but we're fully efficient. This year, Vietnam will become the number one exporter of rice. We heavily surrender the number one champion of rice, because I would say rice has done a lot of damage to the Thai farmer. Yeah, yeah. I know rice brings in a lot of export income in the past. But for the past 20, 30 years, rice has become a burden because we grow too much of it. And we have been a pretty good student of the World Bank, of the World FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization, under the UN, having Thailand grow a lot of rice, exporting at the cheapest price. We believe in that. So we become trapped in this what we call low cost mentality. Okay? We produce at the lowest cost, at all expense. Forget all the expense. Forget about the water. Forget about the air. Forget about the chemical. Forget about the human impact. But we keep on producing rice so that we become the world's number one rice exporter for 30 centimeters. And we don't get any better for it. So Thailand has to surrender the number one exporter of rice. We will not do that anymore. And the environment of the environment, the climate change, will not allow us to do that either. We cannot grow rice 3 times a year anymore because flood will come. You will hear that this morning. And we are very good with investment in certain parts. But in terms of water management, we are one of the really bad students. We are not very good at it. But in terms of living fuel, I'm sure this is the way out. If you move away from rice, people ask me, what is the major now? If you stop, if you encourage people not to grow rice, what can they do? We can grow peas. Why not? We have been exporting cheap rice to the world for too long. Now, we will export our fuel to the back of here. Like processing that. They have a point. Even though it is 100 baht per liter, you are 200 baht per liter. I'm sure Bangkok, British Bangkok people will be able to afford it. Now, you have to have time. Can go to that. But oil water, energy water has become a bad predicament for the country for too long. So the import of energy
energy, electricity, oil consumption.
But if you look at Thailand, compared to China, compared to Malaysia, the South Korea there. So it's all go hand in hand in terms of people per capita and GDP per capita. It's almost linear. So for our neighboring countries who are not the same case of developing as us, you can expect to be building 3 power plants per year. In the future, Cambodia will have to do that. In the future, Myanmar will have to do that. Once your economy starts to climb up, you have to build 3 new power plants, 3,000 megawatts per year. Like Thailand is doing now, any delay will have a big impact on our economic plans. But you will not be using energy too much or too long, because once the country is gone, your energy consumption will reduce per capita per GDP. Look at China now. China used to spend a lot of money on energy, but it's coming down very quickly because we learn how to do it from there. And Taiwan is the same. Thailand is the same case as China in terms of energy intensity in the country. And if you look at the major one of the growth, China will dominate the market for another 40 years. Until China becomes great or like Japan now. Japan is now becoming the old lady. And 40 years ahead, China will become so. But 15 years ahead, Thailand will also become an old lady country. I'm sure you guys make sense. But going back to oil and gas growth, I've been speaking about it for 12, 30 years now, even before everyone knows the world better. But His Majesty has been developing this quietly in the balance for 25 years. And exactly 11 years ago, the government woke up and introduced the National Economic Policy Act, learned a big lesson from the broader project developed by His Majesty in the Grand Palace. So the Royal Palace in Thailand is the only place where we have ethanol distillery in there. We have biodiesel plant in there. So that's a very key to be keep by ethanol. So we don't see that as more of a county council.
Tomorrow, the chairman is the former Thailand chief of the JV, the community council. So prepare to meet him in the ethanol.
I have an audition. An audience with His Majesty with several of people 9 years ago already. So that's why we developed the project to use a royal boat, a royal boat run on biodiesel 100%. So this is the project we're going to do so that we can raise the awareness of people in the country. And look, we have not just stay idle and continue to buy oil from the world market at any price. At that time, we were looking at oil at about $35 a barrel. But now it's 105, sometimes 110. We are now break even. Our ethanol program is now cheaper than before. Our biodiesel is slightly more expensive because we have more difficult to do fast. But in the future, I'm sure we can compete. This important oil. But if you look at the world market in the future, by 2050, that is another 40 years or 38 years, Professor Silas, why not you be able to walk too fast? He might be able to speak fast still. I'll be 90 years old. I hope he wouldn't be here either. But by then, 2050, 20% of transportation will be biofuels. So if you are
talking about that, recently I read a book by Professor Yomi. There is a 2050 there will be new north in Russia, Alaska, Canada, and Arctic. There are a lot of water.
So, few more now, and it's usually one. But going back to our views, 70% of our views will be consumed or be used by non-OECD countries. Many China, India, and of course, Thailand. We are now putting ourselves in the world of the consumption already. Big question. If what we produce, do we have enough land to do? The answer is definitely yes. Yes, we can do it. And it is already approved by IEA, the International Energy Agency. We have a lot of arguments in every war. Whatever we always say, our views, you make people starve. People on the other side, like myself, we confirm that more biofuels means more food. Because then we will not be growing food at any price. Or selling cheap food to your market at cheap price, we need a fair price. Well, one word from you. Thailand used to have what is called coffee crisis. And Vietnam used to have coffee crisis also. Now they've changed a bit because we reduce our production. I have burned our coffee field for that reason. You know, we have coffee houses. Only 2% of the coffee you grab in the room goes to the farmer. 98% goes to the brand name. Especially the brand name that everyone prefers to use. Even on the way there, you see a big advertisement encouraging you to drink a special brand of coffee. But only 2% of the money goes to the farmers. So back in the other days, we have to ask, why? Why do we keep on selling cheap food to the rich people? No. From now on, we will be selling fuel. Ethanol. I will be there. My is for electricity. Why not? But the government has put it in that. In Thailand, I think on Thursday or Friday, you will be meeting with the Ministry of Energy, Minister of Energy, someone in Brazil, and then we are now this day in Brazil, the country, that's what we call the low-carbon society. And let's go together, I'm sure. In this way, we can play the energy game in our war game. Not the big American people way of the playing war game. But let's play ball. Let's play people. Much better than the huge body that is prepared in the field. It's too crowded. Don't play with people. Let's play okay. And play okay. This is what the project has done. I would say after 10 years of the project, we are now on a successful path from the National Ethanol Program. Even though some people say it's badly important, but we have now been able to generate about 200,000 jobs in the countryside. We now have 50 plants and not also 50 plants. Each plant employs a huge number of people. And not in Bangkok, not in the middle of the area, not in the country. It is one scope of human capital development. Otherwise, our farmers will leave their field, come in to Bangkok, work in the factory. And at the end of the day, people will ask, what do I do? One sad thing when the COVID crisis in Thailand in the year 1997, the first factory closed is somewhere in Central Prata, producing shoes, skateboard shoes, at a very expensive price. And who mentioned the name? They had the first one to close it down. I saw one lady coming out from the factory. She was crying. She said, the contract terminated that day. She had been making shoes since she left school when she was 13. And now she's at that time, she was 57. What can he do? The shoe factory is closed. Mind you, only 4% of the cost of manufacturing is for labor cost. So Thailand is enjoying so much.
ไม่เคยเห็นตรงนี้ออกเรื่องงงงงสู้งง
She cannot go back to the rice field because the rice field was sold already. She cannot go back to her former home
because
it was already gone. She has been spending 4 years in Vietnam making shoes. And now she
becomes.
And at that time, you don't have any social happiness. Now it's not better. We learn.During the economic crisis, and in that crisis, we learn how that we cannot stay cheap forever. Cheap labor, cheap life, and cheap human cost. No, we will not stay cheap. While this process, we encourage all our factory workers to go out.To the countryside for rubbery because rubber is an industrial crop and the market in China is huge, the market in India is opening now. So those people who return to you now become a little bit better. They can feed their children, they can send their children to school. Parents become one of the highest tertiary enrollment in terms of percentage in this region. We cannot compete with Singapore because of course.In that index, we are one of the leading countries in this region. Most of all, school kids go to tertiary education. So in the future, I look forward to a better future for everyone. The system project, our federal program, is bio-retail program. And also, the first part of life in Thailand, operated by the Royal Forces under His Majesty King, who is here. The project is under Thailand.Fusion with that, what is that, and take that journey. We have a few people who want to also do the work in the past. Just what I said, we have from His Majesty in Western. Producing while we care for the royal fleet to lose the entire of the world. And we also have a lot. A huge power man
is a
huge power man. We initiate a couple of years to keep a small power producer. And that's another.8,000 jobs. So we have, in total of the past 10 years, had an initiative what we call the alternative fuel program, pretty aggressively. As a result, we have been able to generate approaching 400,000 jobs in the countryside. Ethanol program, biofuel program, biomass program. And in the future, we have more solar and more wind energy projects in the countryside. So,Energy project doesn't have to be played by big boys only, and that doesn't have to be big, so that we have 7 people to everyone. You can become small, efficient, and smart. This is for example. The North Metapo one is in Tanabin province. This is an ethanol plant built next to the sugar plant. So they properly produceSugar for human consumption, they produce ethanol for car consumption, they produce electricity to feed half of Tanzania province. So in one plant, up to many years ago, they were only producing sugar cane, sugar, but now they are producing sugar, electricity, and ethanol, and generating a great amount of the power in the country. The bottom part, squirreling ethanol, next.Your neighbor to Myanmar, one of the really beautiful areas that Thailand has. That has a special effect because the land there is not suitable for food production because of heavy rainfall contamination. In the future, I can show you this. I can be a very great ambassador to talk about this. The land becomes contaminated by cattle. So when people arrive on that and eat that rice, they have to keep it in.A lot of people die, a lot of people sick, a lot of people need to go for treatment in the hospital for kidney big issue. So 7 years ago we started to encourage the public to stop growing rice. And they asked, what can we do? And then the government came anti-incarnation. So that the Bible again is talking about K-incarnation. And when you were look at especially the root system, and root ash can have heavy metal and be stickier than to root ash. So we can reduce the environmental impact. Otherwise, of course, heavy metal can take into the food chain a big problem on the world. And now we can solve that. So this is one word, one story which is many words before the solar. I went to the States, and I went to Brazil 30 years ago, and feel so empty. Empty as well. Those type of the road that you go to the other side, you see factories there, but not factories to make shoes. Factories to make food, to make sugar, and to make fuels in the same form. And the raw material doesn't come from Saudi Arabia, it comes from the field, the mountains. And why not? Now we have 60,000 running in the country like this, and 10 more is going to be opened by the end of next year. So by the end of 2013, Thailand will become the world number 5 producer of ethanol. It will become quite valuable. And this is one of the largest biodiesel plants in Asia, using about 10% of all our vegetable oil palm production, built by PET. And we have 14 plants like this. And they are also converting excess palm oil from food. When we have enough oil palm oil food, we produce it. Any excess, we convert it to biodiesel, and we produce it to prevent our diesel to be. Today, every diesel oil in Thailand is contained 5% biodiesel. And we have a huge farm sector, we have a huge farm industry as a result. This is also a 10-year program. We started this program in 2001. This budget is offered this month for that year. And this is one of the projects we are showing you. That's a long time. Biofuels, we can have biogas electricity. We don't have to buy coal, we don't have to buy natural gas from anywhere, And near our next door neighbor, who is coming, in this area, the land is very acidic. It has only high acid content. So this particular province is not very good for rice in your day, because we don't have good irrigation. Now it's true. But one of the problems still remains is that further south from here, that's another 30 kilometers from here, the land becomes so acidic. The people cannot grow rice, so they grow hand cream They grow hand cream orange. And orange was a disaster because once the root system reached in a thick soil, they all died. So 8 years ago, we started a program to take out the orange plantation and plant oil palm instead. One of the best productive oil palm in the country. This is contradictory to conventional belief that we do not grow our farm in the central part of Canada. When farm is perfect, it's actually excellent. And actually, income is 11 times the income rice growth in this region. So many people, about 1,000 families now, can climb out of that property tract in this area, which is a huge empty land. Along the way in the garden. In the future, we will come back in 5 years more. We won't be empty land anymore. We won't be that if they don't come and rice, then we all come and trees. And what the best oil palm is to the species. So when they grow, they generally become 5% used to run diesel engines. And the white bits will be in the central testing center. Become your coffee bed. And once you bed your coffee bed, the Thailand will be better and become the world's strongest coffee bed as a result. This is also another product champion, cassava. When you show this type of cassava to my European friends, they are amazed at how big they are, because they are as big as a man's leg. And this is how good the Thai farm sector is. And we use this cassava to feed our ethanol plant. in the past 6-7 years, Thailand has been stalled in terms of all the development, you know, political architecture they are. But one project that we want to develop to turn around the country. And one thing to do that is, of course, to create a rural area and rural office. Then we need to. One of the ways to turn around Okay, great. And by ายเป็นทุนสร้างโลกเป็นสิ่งที่เป็นมาจากประเทศที่ถูกดีไหมก็ต้องบอยต้องมีแต่มีเรื่องแบบนี้นะบอย and some of the boy still born boy when they reach eligible age when they reach 21 they decide to become girls and then become boys then they form transgender operation so sad why and from the day we have big money because in the future they won't be any longer we might have to recruit ladies to become capital chips but in England they are now becoming the total existing effect of England is now ready and they have to promote that the first person of England is a big portion and then it will be the first time and then it will be the and another reason why we cannot if you see growing rice for the majority of the people, the income from growing rice one now a year is below poverty line in Thailand. So we need to grow three times to grow crop. Just to swim above the water, we need to grow three crops of rice. It's crazy. We are stopping growing that now. But if you look at the duplicate rice, since the project started 11 years ago, we are not looking back at all. The price has been very good for the farmer. And if you look at the farm price as well, from the start of Balikita project, Balikita on farm price has still dropped below retail cost. That is good enough for the farmer. So I don't have time to show you the research about that. I was with my last price. My hope is from our NDNDB website. Thailand is right smack at the center of the region. Well, for being Thai, if you look at Thailand as the center, of course, and people come from Myanmar, you help them saying Myanmar is the center. But no matter who is the center, we will become very well connected in the future. And in walking this road together, I think we have a common mission. Let's play our own ball game. Don't play the big boy game. We cannot compete with them. Like boxing. We cannot box with Mike Tyson. He is too big. But if he encourages you or some smaller American to do Thai boxing or to do Asian boxing, yeah, I think we can compete. If you have to play ball game, why not? Invest all of them. And in part of this, gain investment is of course grow